Hi, everyone, and welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next year's Oscars. I'm Sophia Simonello.
And I'm Nick Werkraut.
And today, we have a really fun episode for you. We will be revisiting one of the themes that we've done in the past, but with a new twist on it. So if you remember our They Won for That series, we talked about Oscar winners who won for a role that we found surprising, considering the rest of their career. In that series, we talked about Kate Winslet winning for The Reader. We talked about Al Pacino winning for Scent of a Woman. And today, we're flipping that and doing They Didn't Win for That, where we will be talking about an actress who has been nominated 5 times and did not win for a film that was a huge success at the Oscars. We will be talking about Annette Bening in American Beauty.
I love Annette. I'm excited for today's pod. I love that we settled on this idea and starting with her if we do make this a series. But I think after her performance with NIAID last year and how much we talked about her and in kind of revisiting throughout that award season, her filmography, I was like, this would have been a perfect win for her. And we'll bring up Hilary Swank and their feud in a way throughout the years at the Oscars. But yeah, American Beauty was a huge hit and won big at the Oscars. So I think it's a really important film to discuss, for better or worse, maybe why it's controversial or how we feel like it's changed in the past 25 years since it came out. So yeah, I'm excited to chat about both of those things.
Yeah, me too. So let's get right into American Beauty. Description here: a sexually frustrated suburban father has a midlife crisis after becoming infatuated with his daughter's best friend. This was directed by Sam Mendes and stars Annette Bening, Kevin Spacey, Thora Birch, Mina Suvari, Chris Cooper, Wes Bentley, and more. This won 5 Oscars: picture, director, actor for Spacey, original screenplay, and cinematography. And was nominated for 3 others, actress for Annette Bening, of course, film editing, and original score. So I brought this up at the end of the last episode, but if Annette Bening would have won, this movie would have joined the exclusive club of Big 5 winners, which includes It Happened One Night, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and The Silence of the Lambs. But because Hilary Swank beat Annette Bening here in Best Actress, we don't have a Big 5 winner. I think just to start with the movie itself, when did you first see American Beauty and has your relationship with it changed over time? I think that for our age group, people have very interesting relationships with this movie because I think a lot of us watched it when we were first becoming cinephiles or getting into the Oscars, and over time, relationships to it and, you know, the question of whether or not it's aged well, those things have come up. So I'm curious to hear what you think of this movie first.
So I first probably saw this in college, like maybe high school, but yeah, it was that time when I was just getting into movies and this was one that was really talked about and well received. And I think we knew this as like the paper bag movie. Like the really cool, edgy film that when you actually look at it, there's a lot in there and there are so many storylines happening. And I think some of those have aged well, some haven't. But I think after rewatching it now, it had definitely been some time since I'd seen it last. I came away liking Annette the most, I think. You know, the homosexuality plotline was very weird. Obviously, the Spacey Mina Suvari relationship, that storyline, so odd. But I think the film worked for me as much as it did is because of the way the story is framed, how we keep bouncing around between the different characters and relationships and how it's all compiled and edited together. Going back to the Big 5 part of it, if it had been, I think looking back, it would have made a pretty poor addition to that group of 3 films that it seems now nearly impossible to have a movie join that special club. I don't know. How do you feel about if it had been a Big 5 winner?
I'm going to come right out and say that I do not like this movie, really hardly at all. There are certain moments that I'm really keyed into and feel really connected with and really like, but those really only exist in isolation, not really in context with the rest of the film. So for me, I think it would be a very poor addition to our list of big five winners, especially because I do love all three of those movies. So American Beauty, my relationship to it is interesting because I, you know, was only six when this movie came out. So I didn't see it in 1999, but I remember the poster very clearly. And I remember images. Like, I remember that poster of her belly button, and I remember the still and the image of Mina Suvari with all of the rose petals. And I remember at the time even thinking, like, what is this? One day I'm going to need to watch this. And that, I think, really persisted over the years. But I also remember my parents not liking this movie. They were outside of that, I think, critical consensus at the time and the understanding that this was a really cool movie. They just did not feel that way. So I think I never had, growing up, anyone telling me, you need to watch this movie. This is a really important movie. Then later, when I got into high school and into college, I think that's when more people in our age group started to say, like, this is a really cool movie. You need to watch it. And by the time I did watch it when I was in college, I just was never on its wavelength. It just was one of those that didn't work for me. And we can talk about why that is, but I think Mendez has trouble clarifying what this movie really is. Is it a satire? Is it a drama? That to me is really only successful in spurts. You know, what is this version of America? It feels like a construction, and I just need him to go deeper. I wanted him to actually get underneath the surface level. And what's hard for me is that I love Annette Bening in this movie. I even think Kevin Spacey is giving a great performance in this movie. But because of what you said, too, about the editing and the jumping around, that to me makes it feel even more obvious that nearly every character in this movie feels like they're in a different one. And that's really hard. I think the scenes with Thora Birch and Mina Suvari with these girls, they're playing it in a very different way than the parents are or than the neighbors are. It all feels, I think, very disconnected to me. And the movie itself is sometimes playing straighter than how it's written. And what's funny is that I actually thought a lot about Todd Haynes when I was watching it this time. And I was thinking about the tone of May, December and how Haynes and Sammy Birch worked so beautifully together on that. And thinking about, you know, yes, this is a melodrama, but there are these comedic moments that are there. And that, I think, to me felt like this perfect movie that this is trying to get to, but there's just this confusion from the director that can't get me all the way there. And with Haynes too, I also thought about Far From Heaven, thinking that might be what this is trying to be. But it has this thing where I can feel Mendez saying to me as I'm watching this, like, oh, look what this is about. Look what I'm doing here. Isn't that so smart? And I just don't really feel that there's any truth to that. It feels artificial to me, even though it is sort of about this suburban malaise, and I understand how that can connect to it. But to me, I just always feel like I can't grab onto it. And it's telling you, look how deep this plastic bag floating in the wind is. When actually, to me, it's always felt very surface level and sort of hollow. But that's not how I feel about Annette Bening. That is just how I feel about the film as a whole and my experience watching it.
I think Mendez hits a chord where, when I'm looking at this movie, being 25 years old and capturing this suburban dystopian feeling and maybe the hysteria of coming into a new century, I can understand that it almost makes sense to me that things feel disjointed in terms of the characters and how they're all kind of acting in their own worlds. I think the hardest part, and this is probably for you too, is the voiceover. And in having Kevin Spacey narrating this film, which does add another aspect to it in terms of you're getting his thoughts and opinions and how he really feels inside as he's going through this struggle, this midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. But it is laying it out there to neatly for us. And I think I enjoy parts of it, like Annette's performance, where she's playing somebody who is nearly untouchable, or if people can connect with her, it's because of her OCD or because of being this mother and having to control all these other parts in her life, including her husband, who is going nutso, including her daughter, who is growing up and in wanting a good life for her, and in needing to find control in her own life, wanting success, wanting to sell houses as a real estate agent, wanting to find joy and passion again in her loveless marriage. And I think maybe just the craziness of all of that is why I liked her the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting, and we'll talk about the Oscars in a bit, but we mentioned nearly all of the characters, and there are a lot of them. And it's interesting how it's such an actor-heavy movie that I think it is easy to get lost a little bit along the way. Because the thing for Annette is that, you know, she's in a lot of the early parts in the film. And then I noticed a stretch where she wasn't in it for like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, as we're thinking of the Oscars and why she didn't win, maybe that played a part in it as well.
Yeah, I think let's get right into talking about Annette Bening and her performance, because you're a little higher on the movie than I am, but we both really like this performance and feel that it's the high point, I guess, of the movie itself. So Annette Bening, she has been nominated 5 times, supporting actress for The Grifters and lead actress for American Beauty, Being Julia, The Kids Are All Right, and of course, Naiad, which we talked about last season. Getting into her performance, we can talk about some of our favorite scenes and some of our favorite lines of dialogue. I was laughing quite a bit at this performance and also feeling, I think, really sad for her character. And for me, why Bening stands out in this movie and why I like her performance is because there is, you know, this nuts out there swing for the fences performance here with her line deliveries and with how she plays this character. Yet somehow, I feel like I know this woman. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs. I feel like there were moms like this in my neighborhood, and moms of friends and people in my class were not completely dissimilar from Carolyn, her character. So she does give it, I think, this grounded, real-life feel, while also playing everything in a completely heightened manner.
Totally. And you mentioning Todd Haynes and the melodramas that he's made, this performance specifically made me think of like Kate Winslet in Revolutionary Road or The Hours and those performances. And I think Annette is doing such a good job of putting us in those worlds, but also in something more real and definitive. The first time we see her, she's in her garden. I think it's through voiceover that we're being described who she is, but we see her cutting her rose bushes and talking to the neighbor. And I don't know, there's something about him asking her, oh, how she gets her roses so lush. And she goes, eggshells and Miracle-Gro. Like, she has all the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And she has her life put together. And then we see throughout the movie that it's not that at all. But I think appearances are so important in this movie. And again, like the Stepford Wives, that's another performance that comes to mind. It's this perfection that she really wants, or at least people to see her as. And this is like the perfect picture of that in starting the movie this way with her.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I love those moments of her taking care of things. We have so many scenes really in the movie of her cleaning or pruning her garden, just trying to make everything around her as picture perfect as possible. It's sort of like this 50s Leave It to Beaver version of America. Yet, right at the end of the 90s, like you were saying, with this kind of new millennium anxiety right around the corner. So I like how they play with that idea, even if I want them to go a little bit deeper. But yeah, I think that is the perfect introduction to her character. So my favorite scene with her is the I will sell this house today scene, because she, of course, is a realtor. It's the perfect profession for her. It just makes so much sense for this character and gives her so much space, I think, to perform. And what's so funny about it to me is that now we have so many reality shows about real estate too, and that follow these characters as they're flipping houses or showing these really extravagant properties. And I just, in this scene, could picture her on one of those shows, because my favorite part in it is when she says, she opens the front door, she's standing in the doorway and she says, "Welcome." And the way that it's shot and the way that she says, "Welcome," it's almost like she's starting a commercial. And then when it cuts to the people, like, they're so startled and almost disturbed by her enthusiasm and don't really know how to interact with her. And the house that she's showing is really not any big deal. Like, it has a pool. It's nice enough, but it's not like she's, you know, at some house in the Hollywood Hills or anything. But what she's doing in that scene of using that squeegee on the windows and maniacally vacuuming, and how she has taken off her suit that she'll show the house in because it's clear she doesn't want it to get messy from cleaning, which is another funny thing. But I love when she's looking at herself in the mirror and she's saying, "I will sell this house today." And then she notices that little extra spot and she has to get it out of the glass. That's so good.
It comes down to her line readings. I think that's why I love her the most, is her repeating, "I will sell this house today." Or another quote we have really early on is when she's driving her daughter to school and her husband to work. She goes, "Honey, are you trying to look unattractive? Congratulations, you've succeeded admirably." And there's something so Annette in the way she's saying it. I don't know, that makes me think of her other performances too. It's this like cutting dry wit, but also she's like so passive aggressive. And she does this later again after she sees her daughter perform as a cheerleader. And she goes, "Honey, I'm so proud of you. I watched you very closely and you didn't screw up once."
Oh my God,
and it's like, "Mother, you really had to say it like that?" Like, of all of the ways. So I think she totally understood the assignment and gave us something off the walls, which I think heightens everything else in the movie. And I think despite her runtime being fairly short, she's in this movie for under 30 minutes, I think you still feel her aura like through the entire film.
Yeah, very much so. And we talk about that, of how certain actors, regardless of screen time, you do feel their presence throughout because of the impact that they've made in their short amount of time on screen. I do think, you know, that's also one of the things that the writing is a bit of a disservice to Annette Bening and to the character of Carolyn, really, just because I do wish that she was a stronger part of the movie and was given the space that Lester Burnham, Kevin Spacey's character, is given throughout the movie. I wish that this would have focused, I think, even more on her character, because when I watch this, I do kind of view her as the live-action counterpart to someone like Charlotte Pickles in Rugrats. Like, that is how I watch this. It is like she is the highbrow version of that. And it's just this idea of this complicated workaholic woman in that time period who takes no prisoners, who clearly has her own issues, but also through what she says to the characters around her, you know, it would be incredibly difficult to live with this woman. Of course, like, Lester has so many flaws of his own, but when she says that to him, like you mentioned, when they're driving, or, you know, how hard she is on Jane, her daughter, you think, wow, it would be really hard to live with this woman. I think Bening understands that very specific type of type A woman who puts so much pressure on everyone around her because she has to keep up appearances. This to me is like it's a version, right, of the Mary Tyler Moore ordinary people type of mom, where it's just like, this is my life. This is the front I am putting on for everyone, and you need to believe it. And I think Annette Bening is really good at doing that.
And I think what makes this film interesting is that once Lester and Carolyn kind of give up and start doing their own thing, it is fun in following their journey and in wondering where they're going to end up, because you get to see Carolyn finally be happy. And she's outside of her home. She's shooting guns. She's having sex in the craziest of ways. And she feels happy. Like, she looks happy again. And I think seeing that change in her and in how Bening changes that character is the most interesting part. like when she comes back to the home after she's been caught in the drive-thru window, which I also love, Lester and Carolyn are about to get intimate again. And then she sees him with a beer on the couch and she's like, Lester, you're going to spill the beer. And mm-hmm. everything is back to normal because she's stuck in that house again. Yeah. So I think how Annette plays this character and changes her based on her settings tells us more about this story and this place than maybe Lester is doing in the voiceover that we're getting.
I agree with that. And I do think she, that scene that you mentioned with the beer and that like little car that he has, and I mean, the new upgraded car he has outside mm-hmm. where she asks him what happened to the Camry. That scene reminded me of in Gone Girl when Amy comes back and Nick has purchased all of this stuff, like different video games. And she says, what's the laptop for? And he says, laptopping. I think that's just such a great moment to understand like this idea of a man going through a midlife crisis and mm-hmm. just buying everything useless. I also think that this scene that you started to talk about too, where we see after Lester has started working at Mr. Smiley's, when Carolyn and Buddy pull up to the drive-thru window, I think that's another great moment from Annette, because it's a really good back and forth between Spacey and Benning there, and mm-hmm. is also, I think, really funny just on her part.
Yeah, there's so much comedy in the movie, and that's a part of it that I enjoy. I think my favorite scene, I think, comes earlier, but it's when she's driving home after having been with Buddy, and she's singing Don't Rain on My Parade, which is being sung by Frank Sinatra in her car. She's fully belting in her car, very relatable, and she pulls up to the house right as the song ends and sees that Pontiac Firebird in the driveway. And it's just mm-hmm. a perfect end to that scene. And we know that we're going to get a confrontation.
Yeah.
That is going to be a great scene afterwards.
And she is just grinning when she's shooting that gun. Mm-hmm. When she says, all I know is that I love shooting that gun. And then that going into her driving in the car singing while the gun is sitting on the passenger seat. My God. Oh my God, that's so good. I do love that. And I also love the dinner scene with her and mm-hmm. Lester fighting. I mean, it has nothing on the asparagus dinner scene in Phantom Thread, of course, and that argument. But after he's, you know, they're just going back and forth with semantics about him losing his job or quitting his job, and then he throws the asparagus at the wall, and you just, I feel like, see again her trying to keep this family together, but not in any real way. It's just, again, for appearances and mm-hmm. to try to, you know, make it seem like everything is fine, but also that she has this loser husband that she can't stand anymore. But my favorite line comes after that, when she goes up to Jane's room. You think at first she's trying to apologize, but then she's offended when Jane calls them both freaks. And she's like, me too? How, like, you think I'm this way too, not just your dad? And she goes into this mom speech of, you cannot count on anyone except yourself. And then when she slaps her because she's not appreciative of the life that she has, and she says, when I was your age, we lived in a duplex. We didn't even have our own house. That is so good for this character, I think.
Yeah, we just get to see so many sides of her. And that's what I enjoy. And in other moments, we see her completely breaking down. She mm-hmm. cries in her car when she says goodbye to Buddy and realizes that this affair is over. She's crying at the end when she's sitting in the car in the rain, deciding what to do. She should kill her husband and have another life. And that gun again is sitting on the passenger seat. And she comes home. She's still crying. But I love how she like hugs all of his shirts in the end, because mm-hmm. you get such a sense of who she is. Like, she's troubled and her marriage is not great, but she still loves him in a way, even though it seems like it's just for appearances. There is some depth to that. And like, she really does have a heart. So I think it was a great way to end that character on the lighter side and showing that she's not crazy.
I agree. I think she has Yeah, you talking about the crying too. She breaks down after she's showing that house and it's clear that no one's interested. And we have that good moment with those two women outside when she's showing off the lagoon-like pool.
Yeah.
And they just don't understand anything lagoon-like about it. And they start talking about plants. And I love when she just goes, is this not a plant? About the leaves behind her. But then she just starts to break down. It's like, you know that this woman just cannot hold all of it together. It's just too much for her.
Mm-hmm. And in that moment specifically, you can just see she wants to beat these women up.
Yeah,
it's like, are you serious? Everyone today has been nitpicking and you're going to say it's not a lagoon. It's a pool. Like, do what you want. Oh, my God. But you see it in her eyes and her holding back, screaming. And it's so good.
Yeah. And the same thing, when she's gardening again and she notices that Lester's in the garage lifting. And of course, he's lifting to try to look better for Jane's friend, which is just, again, so disturbing. Yeah. But he's smoking weed and she is just over him. She cannot take it anymore. And she's just scolding him. Again, I think they have another good back and forth between the two of them. Sometimes I do find the dialogue and the way that they play it a little annoying. But for the most part, I do think the scenes between the two of them really work. My issues with the movie, I think, come from everything else around it and with Mendes's direction.
So I think this is a good time. Let's get into the Oscars of it and talk about maybe why she didn't win. So this year for lead actress, Hilary Swank won for Boys Don't Cry. And then Annette was nominated alongside Janet McTeer for Tumbleweeds, Julianne Moore for The End of the Affair, and Meryl Streep for Music of the Heart. How do you feel about Hillary's win? And do you think Annette had a chance of winning that year?
I think Annette absolutely had a chance of winning this year. If you look back at articles or predictions from 1999, if you look at the precursors, Annette Bening absolutely had a shot to win. And she, I think, was pretty much in dead heat with Hilary Swank heading into Oscar night. I actually do like Hilary Swank's win for Boys Don't Cry. I feel like this is a really good performance and I understand completely, I think, why she won. It's really interesting to consider because I think that there are so many things that are working in Hilary Swank's favor here that Annette Bening in her performance just doesn't have. For instance, Boys Don't Cry is all about Hilary Swank's performance. If you watch that movie and you like it, you come away from it thinking Hilary Swank should win. This movie is all about her. It's that classic case of someone dominating a film where you feel that you have to vote for them coming out of that. Whereas Annette Bening in American Beauty, I think this movie, to people at the time, but also because of the direction and the screenplay, it is the Kevin Spacey show. So I think if you like American Beauty, Kevin Spacey is the clear acting winner from that for people at the time, just because of the focus of the film. I think also the Academy, they've proven time and time again that they have trouble with unlikable women. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly who Carolyn Burnham is. She is not a character I think that a lot of people would have sympathy for coming out of this movie. And at the time, the Academy did skew younger with who they were rewarding in actress specifically. So I think Hilary Swank also had that going for her. So when you look at Swank, you think, okay, easier performance to champion. The movie's entirely about her. We're embracing this new young star. And that movie was also really celebrated by critics, namely Roger Ebert, who had major influence at the time. Then you have someone like Annette Bening, where she's playing an unlikable character, and there could be category confusion. I wonder how many people wanted to vote for her in supporting or thought she was in supporting that entire season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was closer than just Hillary won. And, you know, Annette's been shunned every time her and Hillary have been up against each other. I think it was really close. Bening won SAG that year, which was a fairly new ceremony. but she also won BAFTA, and then Swank won Golden Globe, Critics' Choice, Spirit, New York Film Critics Circle, and an NBR Breakthrough Performance Award. So, I mean, Swank had more going in, but I think they were pretty equal. And Annette Bening was a known actress. This is Hilary Swank's first nomination. The other actresses nominated are big names, but I don't think they had as much of a chance. So it was really between them two. And it's interesting to think if these movies came out today, I'm curious what would have happened. Because I don't know if both films are as liked today. Also, we haven't mentioned this yet, but American Beauty has made over $350 million at the box office, and at the time had made $75 million by the Oscars ceremony. Like, that 100% doesn't happen today, which is really sad.
Yeah.
To have a movie like this make so much money, but it's wild to think this movie had so much support and she couldn't pull off a win. It is a little sad, but I understand with Hillary having a much bigger performance in her movie and also being widely acclaimed for it, too.
It's tricky, too, because when I was rewatching American Beauty, I kept thinking, I really love Annette Bening here. She is the one who's making me enjoy this movie to the fullest extent that it's possible, I think, for me to enjoy American Beauty. But I think what Hilary Swank does in Boys Don't Cry is really incredible work. I know that, you know, Hilary Swank, even she says now, if this movie were made today, she obviously wouldn't be the right choice for the role. But Swank brings, I think, just an incredible amount of empathy to the part. And it really is, I think, one of these great independent films from the time that demonstrates a remarkable amount of understanding of the trans community for that time in particular, because the language that we have now just didn't exist 25 years ago in the same way. So I think it's sort of the best version of the film that could have been made back then and has aged really well in a lot of ways. Whereas American Beauty, like we've talked about also, that has not held up, I don't think, in the same way 25 years later.
Well, you mentioned supporting. So Angelina Jolie won for Girl Interrupted, and she had been winning all season. Do you think if Annette was in supporting that she could have won there instead?
Our nominees for supporting actress, we also had Toni Collette for The Sixth Sense, Catherine Keener for Being John Malkovich, Samantha Morton for Sweet and Lowdown, and Chloe Sevigny for Boys Don't Cry. That's hard too. I wasn't really thinking about that in our preparation for this episode. When I think about Angelina Jolie and Girl Interrupted, I just think about the Oscars look and everything with her brother and with Billy Bob Thornton and just that, all of that at the time. Like, I do remember that from when I was, six, watching the Oscars, which is just crazy. But yeah, I do kind of wonder about that, if Annette Bening would have been able to pull it off in supporting. It's hard because anytime you have someone who's been winning all season, I'm inclined to say no. It still would have been Angelina Jolie's. And that is the type of performance I think that wins in supporting. So because of that, I'm going to say no, but it would have been interesting to see, certainly, if they would have, you know, split some of those prizes and how that would have worked.
Yeah, I think my answer is also no, sadly.
Poor Annette.
Yeah.
It's just hard every time because it's always just like, could she have won this year? No. Is she close? Maybe. In the case of lead actress, she definitely was close. But
yeah.
I think it ended up working out in kind of the worst way possible, which is that your movie wins everything and you don't.
Mm-hmm. I think looking at it in an actor's perspective, we have both performances being nominated from Boys Don't Cry all season. At multiple ceremonies, they're both nominated, but Annette is the only actress nominated here. We had Thora Birch and Mena Suvari. I don't think they could have come close to getting a supporting actress nomination, but again, I think looking at the acting, like, I'm also surprised maybe Chris Cooper didn't at that time. But for an actor-heavy movie, we only had two nominations, so that was maybe also why it wasn't as beloved in that sense. Even though it won many other awards, like technical awards and some of the other big ones.
What's so interesting to me about these Oscars, and I think we'll find additional ways to couch this conversation and topic throughout the season because we'll want to talk more about 1999, but if you just read through the films that we mentioned, Boys Don't Cry, American Beauty, Tumbleweeds, The End of the Affair, Music of the Heart, Girl Interrupted, The Sixth Sense, Being John Malkovich, and Sweet and Lowdown, those are not movies that we think of for 1999. I think there's some exceptions. I think definitely The Sixth Sense, Being John Malkovich, and American Beauty, those are movies that people are still talking about that came out in 1999 and that were obviously box office or critical successes at the time. But nothing for The Matrix, nothing for Eyes Wide Shut, Magnolia, these movies I think that we've come to think about when we think about 1999 as one of the great movie years in history. So it's odd, I think, how the Oscars approached 1999. And when we look back at Oscar history, it is one of those years where I think, like, are the Oscars, do they have their finger on the pulse or no? Because a lot of the movies that we remember from that time are just not here.
I literally hadn't heard of The End of the Affair and Sweet and Lowdown until today. So, yeah. And the only Best Picture nominees we have here are American Beauty and The Sixth Sense, which feels crazy too, or at least it would have been different in a more recent year.
Wait, you'd never heard of The End of the Affair? I think this might be kind of clear because you don't really like romances, but this is, I kind of just want you to watch it because it's Julianne Moore and Ralph Fiennes. Just really going for it.
I think some of these, this isn't that long ago, but from like older years, and I don't know, I felt like Julianne Moore had done a lot of these performances maybe, and maybe it just like slipped my mind. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'll watch it.
Okay. And like we do at the end of all of these episodes, we do have some questions I think that will help us make some key decisions about Annette Bening and American Beauty. But the first one, if you could give Annette Bening one Oscar, would it be for American Beauty?
Out of all of her nominations or any film?
You can answer both if you'd like to.
Oh my God.
I have a different answer for each, so.
I think my favorite performance of hers is 20th Century Women. So I don't know if it would be for this, but I think American Beauty would be close. I think out of her nominations, I mean, my funny answer is Nyad, but I think honestly, I would say American Beauty.
I wanted you to say Nyad.
What about you? What are your choices? What's your answer?
It's hard because, you know, she is my 2016 winner for 20th Century Women. I would have definitely had her beating Emma Stone for La La Land. And I would also put her above Natalie Portman and Jackie. Isabelle Huppert and Elle, who was my winner for that year. I think I would still pick Annette Bening because my favorite Huppert performance from that year is Things to Come, the Mia Hansen love film. So Annette Bening for 20th Century Women, it's one of my least favorite snubs because I love that performance so much. But American Beauty is close. Of her nominations, I would say American Beauty for her win. If I had to pick out of the five one Oscar to give her, it would be American Beauty.
And then if you could give American Beauty one Oscar, would it be Best Actress for Annette Bening?
It would be Best Actress for Annette Bening. But I do have a close runner-up of the other thing that I really love from this movie, and that is original score for Thomas Newman. I love the score. I think it really plays on that suburban tragicomedy very well and sounds like something you would hear in a sitcom sometimes, but also has this heightened drama to it that I really love. So I would say Annette Bening for Best Actress. It's my favorite performance in the movie, but a close runner-up would be original score. What about you?
It would be for me, too. I love her performance. I think of our wins, like it's surprising that cinematography won, and we had all these technical elements being nominated for the film, and I wish she could have pulled it off, too, because it's a performance that's noteworthy, that's memorable. I think looking back at the movie, she has some of its best moments and some of the clear moments in the film, too. So, yeah, I like her here.
Well, that was our episode on Annette Bening and her performance in American Beauty and ultimately her Oscar loss. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you think of American Beauty and of Annette Bening. And next time on Oscar Wilde, we will be going back to 2024 and we will be doing a release roundup of the movies that have come out so far this year that we haven't gotten a chance to talk about yet on the show. So I'm excited to walk through what's been, I think, sort of a weird movie year so far.
Yeah, and we'll also talk about movies from during Oscar season. I mean, we talked about Dune 2, but there has been a lot out since then.
I forgot about Dune Part 2. Uh-oh.
And there's a lot coming soon that we'll be talking about later in the season. But yeah, thank you all for listening. Feel free to rate, review, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at OscarWildPod. You can find bonus content, including an uncut 10-minute longer version of our Challengers episode at patreon.com/OscarWild.
Yes, go subscribe and listen to the Churro edition. It's very fun. But thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.